Greetings, friends, and welcome to the ABCs of the Bible. I have a sobering question for you. Have you ever witnessed the suffering of one of your loved ones? Have you ever suffered the loss of one of your loved ones? If so, it is very, very painful. And now I have another question for you. Why, if this is so painful, if death is truly our enemy, as God says it is, then why does God allow so much suffering? And why does God allow everyone who has ever lived to die? Christ, at his first coming, healed many people and even brought people back to life. But he didn't do it for the entire world. Yet we have the promise that after Christ's second coming, God will begin the process of healing the entire world and eliminating all of the pain and suffering, and even eliminating our last enemy, which is death. But still the question has to be asked, why is God allowing suffering and death to occur right now? Why has God not stopped all of the suffering and death that we see around us? Well, the answer is because God wants to teach us that sin is the cause of all of our suffering, and sin ultimately leads to death. Sin sucks. And when I say sin sucks, that means it is bad. It's horrible. It's terrible. And it should be intolerable. But how does sin suck? Well, in previous programs, we talked about how sin sucks life out of the soul and leads to death. And in this program, I want to begin talking about how sin sucks health out of the mind and leads to distress. So sin sucks health out of the mind and leads to distress. How does this happen? Well, first let me describe a healthy mind. And then I'll describe a distressed mind. Let's go back to the beginning again. And this is in the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings. And I like to go back to the beginnings because it tells us the origin of things. So how does this happen? How does it occur that sin sucks health out of the mind and leaves us with a distressed mind instead of a healthy mind? How does this happen? Well, first of all, we have to realize that when God created the heavens and earth, and he created mankind as the pinnacle of his creation, that after he did that on the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. And when he rested, that signified something. That signified a special time of communion with him. It's just like when you are married, you spend time with your husband or your wife, and all of the time is wonderful time, or should be, but there are special, intimate moments that you have with your spouse. Well, that's the same thing with God. You can worship God at any time and should worship God 7 days a week, but there is one special time that God has set apart as an intimate time for communion with him, and that is the seventh day of the week. The Sabbath day. Let's go back to the Bible to see this. This is in Genesis, the second chapter, in verses 2 through 3. It says, "On the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day." Notice this. All days that God created, he said, "This is good, very good." But on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, God blessed it. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Sanctified it means he set it apart. He set it apart so that there could be this intimate, special communion with him. So God blessed the seventh day, put special blessings on this, made it an extra special time. He set it apart for this communion with him, and that's why it's special. And says he did that because in it, he had rested from all his work which he had created. Now we know that we have our true rest in Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, That's where we have our true rest. And that's because we have a special, intimate communion with our Lord and Savior. If we accept His sacrifice and His death by faith, and if we accept His resurrection and His life by faith, that's what brings us into special communion with our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our best friend, our elder brother, Jesus the Christ. So this seventh day pictures this time of special communion with God. And notice that God teaches mankind His truth. Divine revelation was given to mankind on this time. Let's go on to read in verse 9. Out of the ground, Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And now dropping down in verse 16 and 17. God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, except you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So this Sabbath day, when they had their communion with God, their fellowship with God, it was a time of worship and education. God said, "You see all of these trees? They're pleasant to the sight. They're good for food. You can have every one of them except for one. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die." God gave them divine revelation of what they should and should not do. And they were to worship God in spirit and in truth. But what did they do? They sinned. So first we have described a healthy mind. The healthy mind is one that has a communion with God, that worships God in spirit and in truth. But now to describe the distressed mind. We're going to see how sin sucked the health out of Adam and Eve's mind and put distress in there instead. Let's turn over now to Genesis, the third chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. This is Genesis, the third chapter, and verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which Jehovah God, or Yahweh God, had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it so that God has said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God has said, 'You shall not eat of that one, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So far, so good. But the serpent said to the woman, he kept at it, he was persistent, "You shall not surely die. No, instead, God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You can determine for yourself what's right and wrong. Who is this God to hold something back from you? You are just as smart as God. You can be a grown-up. You don't have to listen to this ogre, this overbearing parent. You're mature. You know what's good and evil. Decide for yourself. God's trying to keep something back from you." So then the woman, she started reasoning. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, and it was, and that it was pleasing to the eyes, and it was, God said that. But this is the part that tripped her up. And when she surmised that it was a tree to be desired to make someone wise, that's when she took of its fruit and she ate it. That's a horrible mistake she made. She fell for that lie that she would be like God, knowing good and evil, that she could get it right. She didn't need God to have divine revelation. She didn't need to have this special intimate communion with God. So she devalued God. She distanced herself from God. And that's exactly what Satan wanted, was to put a barrier between her and God, to put a distance there, so that instead of listening to the voice of God, she was cut off from the voice of God and only could hear the voice of Satan. That's exactly what Satan wanted, and that's exactly what Satan got. So Eve took of the fruit, and she gave to her husband, and he ate also. Now, what is the fruit of this fruit that they ate? Well, you can see that by worshiping false gods, we have all sorts of problems. My wife and I had a chance to visit India not too long ago, and they have over 100 false gods over there. And some of the practices that they get into cause them not to eat cows, for instance. And yet these cows could help people to survive instead of going into starvation. Because they believe in reincarnation, some of the people there and some of the religions, they don't kill animals. So they let rats and roaches crawl all over the place. And they actually don't mind eating where these rats and roaches have defecated. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about everybody there in India. But if you've been over to India, if you watch programs about that, you will see that they have lots of false gods. And they have lots of horrible practices that leave them in a depraved state. Another example, many men, if their wives don't have children within the first year or two of marriage, they'll actually kill their wives and go out and get another wife. A horrible practice, whereas if they knew the truth of the scriptures from the Bible, the true and one and only God that has revealed his will for us, that wants us to be brought into communion with him, if they only followed the God of the Bible and followed as their Lord and Master, not Lord Krishna, not Lord Shiva, but instead, if they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, then they would not fall into these harmful practices. But even in Christianity, false Christianity, we have such things as penance, where people feel like they have to do works to receive forgiveness from God. And some people even go so far as to whip themselves, to beat themselves bloody in the hopes that God will see this type of worship and be pleased with their penance. That's not what God wants. That's false worship. That's just vain worship. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, as a result of the sin of not worshiping God in spirit and in truth, this sin is sucking health out of the mind and leaving people in distressed situations. That's why lots of people have gone into very, very bizarre things. You might have heard about the Branch Davidians, where they actually fought against the government and brought harm and even death upon themselves because of the weird ideas that they had. You might have heard about a man who was trying to build the Egypt of the West down in Georgia, and he was molesting children and using women as prostitutes, as his sex slaves. Or you might have heard, of course, of Jim Jones when he brought people down to Guyana, and then he caused over 900 people to drink Kool-Aid and they died. That's what false Christianity or any false religion will do for a person. It will leave them with a distressed mind, which in many cases will also lead to death. Well, we have a lot more to cover on this subject, but we're out of time for this program. I hope you'll join me for the next program, and may God be in you.